Welcome to The Sweet Spot. I'm your host, Corey Bradley. NFL draft is just a few days away. You know, I kind of get a little frustrated at times just from all of the talk, and because all the talk goes towards the first round, and it's like you forget the analysts on NFL Network and ESPN don't really do much justice for the rest of the draft. But it's all first round. It's all about quarterbacks, and there's so much more than that. And you know, Chris Liuzzi, as he rejoins, and as we do on The Sweet Spot, man, you know, we've talked about our teams and what we plan to do in the first round with our Steelers and Colts, and we'll talk about them later. But let's kind of show some love or attention to a few other teams in the NFL draft when it does come to the first round. I mean, I highlighted the first round, the importance of it, and kind of the hype that it gets. We'll talk sleepers also, but first rounders, we will talk Pittsburgh, we will talk Indianapolis, but out the gate to start this episode, I want you to give me a team that you're looking at, that you're focused on what they will do. Like, what's a team that you're like, man, this is a really interesting situation. I wonder what this particular franchise is going to do with their first selection come Thursday night.
This is a little bit of, and my pick is a little bit of a, I guess, a cliche one, because I think it'd probably be a lot of people's pick, but I think it's what they do has a lot of sway on what happens down the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Because they're the common, everybody thinks they're going to trade up and get a quarterback, right? And Okay, the intrigue from at that point goes, okay, well, who are they trading up with? So if it's New England, that's interesting, because all of a sudden, you know, that just because they're likely going to trade into the top five, there's an inherent like domino effect of that.
Yeah.
Where that just gets really interesting. So do we see, like, if they trade up, would somebody else go trade? Like, say they trade up to New England, trade up to number three. Okay, does somebody trade up to number four to go get the fourth quarterback? Does someone like Denver panic because they're like, oh, shoot, I want a quarterback, you know? Does the Giants, I mean, shoot, do we think they – it's just – it's interesting, right? It's – what they do has a lot of pull on kind of how things fall at a very important position, the most important – position being quarterback. And so that's just, it's an easy one to me. I'll even kind of give an honorable mention to Denver for the same reason. I think Minnesota is getting a lot of the hype for being the team that would trade up to get a quarterback, and deservedly so. I mean, they got, you know, they went and got the extra first round pick. They have the stock to do it. Denver does not have that. They're not going to win the trade war with Minnesota, as far as they don't have the capital that Minnesota does.
Yeah.
But man, that's another team that I would not be remotely surprised if they tried to make a move, right? I mean, it's because Sean Payton, I'm sure, I mean, after last season, I'm sure Sean Payton is ready to try and turn this thing around. And I mean, every team is, right? But I don't know. It's hard for me to picture them just rolling in with who they have now under Sean Payton and him being comfortable with that. And so that's kind of my honorable mention team. Both of those teams are the teams that like just seem like the obvious trade-up teams. And if so, like, I'm curious,
what
one, you know, where do they go to? Yeah, and then who do they take, obviously, too. So, yeah, those are the teams for me, and we'll see.
So Minnesota has 11 and 23, right? They have those two selections in the first round. The assumption then immediately was that the Vikings would take a quarterback and that they would package those two, right? Well, you know how I feel about quarterbacks, and I mean, you talked about it. It's like that's what we talk about, man. If you need a quarterback, that doesn't mean you have to take one in the first round, right? So I think unless you love that guy. Now, if you love Caleb Williams, you love Jaden Daniels, and you're like, man, that's one and two right there. Okay, if you don't love that, if you don't love anybody else, then don't feel the need or the pressure to take one in the first round. You know, I think that's when you take a sleeper later on in the third, fourth round, and you're like, okay, we don't love anybody else, we don't have to take one in the first. You know what I'm saying? I look at it like, say a person wants to get married. If a person wants to get married in the next year and a half, but say that they're one that they really love, that one that they really love is already with somebody. It's like there's no way they're taking. And then you're somebody else is like, man, I love this person too. Like, this will be right there. This will be like my number two. Well, that person don't like you back. So now here you are. I want to get married in the next year and a half, but I don't have the two people that I absolutely love. And I think it's where teams panic in the first round. They feel like, okay, we need a quarterback. This is what I want to do. We want a quarterback. Well, we just got to take someone in the first round because that's what the media says to do. So Minnesota, like you said, is going to be curious. At some point, we expect them to take one. But will it be 11? Will it be 23? Will they package those two and move up? that's going to be interesting for sure on what they decide to do. But I just,
what
this,
about you?
This
what
whole, well, this whole talk of just having to take somebody just because that's what's expected, but just don't settle. Don't settle if you don't believe. You know, if you don't believe in that guy, then don't try to force, you know, that round peg into a square hole. So you got Minnesota, you got Denver. Now, Sean Payton, he had a quarterback, Russell Wilson, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, whatever. He had one. He blew that. He blew that chance. There's no shot. That West is only getting tougher, right? That West is only getting tougher. And I felt you had an adequate quarterback. Well, too late. He's a Steeler. So Minnesota, Denver are really interesting because, like you said, it's hovered around quarterbacks. That's the quarterbacks get all the talk. For me, that team that I'm looking at, the Chargers at 5. The Chargers at 5 is a team. I'm wondering what do they do, because they need playmakers surrounding Justin Herbert. When they trade Keenan Allen, they release Mike Williams. Like, your top receivers are Darius Days, Josh Palmer, and Quentin Johnston. What?
That's the obvious trade target potentially too, right?
It is. You got teams.
More darts.
Yeah, yeah. You get more darts at the dartboard. Jim Harbaugh talked about it. He said it's basically like having the first pick in the draft potentially. You know, because if mm-hmm. number one is Bears quarterback, 2 Commanders quarterback, number 3 Patriots quarterback. If the Cardinals trade out of 4, and because a team like Minnesota possibly comes up to 4 and gets QB, all of a sudden the Chargers have the number one pick basically, because they don't need a quarterback. So now they have the number one pick aside from quarterbacks at their disposal. So even if the Cardinals do stay at 4 and take a Marvin Harrison Jr., a Romo Dunze, whoever, Malik Nabers, that's where the Chargers are in prime position to get somebody at receiver. I don't think they trade back. I think they do take one of those receivers, but that's the team I'm really interested to see what they do, because they need you look at Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, 2 quarterbacks, 2 stud quarterbacks who really need a lot of help. They didn't need a lot of help last year, but all of a sudden, 1 year removed, they're in desperation of who do we throw the ball to? Who do we trust? You know what I'm saying? I feel for Justin Herbert, because Keenan Allen was his guy. Like, he threw to him all the time. Third down, that was his guy. Like, if he was double-teamed, he was still throwing because he trusts Keenan Allen to come up with that play. Like, who is going to be that guy for the Chargers, man?
What makes that even more surprising, and maybe I'm going on a limb here, but I don't even think their first pick is going to be a receiver.
Oh, what are you thinking?
I think they're going offensive line. Wow. I think, because I've listened to a couple, I've read some articles that kind of include me in on it, and I've listened to Jim Harbaugh talk a little bit, and every single time that he kind of gets a chance to elaborate on it, he talks about the team needing to be more physical, more physical, mm-hmm. more physical, more physical.
That's his style.
And I'm like, yeah. And then we have the history of it. They like to run the ball. They went and got Greg Roman, right? I mean, yeah. The only good lineman they have is Slater. And I'm like, okay. To me, it's such a strong tackle class. It's such a strong receiver class. You're probably going to see mm-hmm. a ton of them go on day one. But I think you're more likely to get a good day 2, day 3 receiver than you are to get a starting lineman. So to me... Yeah. I guess if I were them, I would go get like the best lineman that's there, get the best tackle, pair him up with Slater, get the receivers later. To me,
mm-hmm.
but as you said, though, I mean they have a lot of holes they can plug. I wouldn't be shocked if they went receiver at all. I just personally think they go line just based on because it's Harbaugh.
Yeah.
But I mean, me also as a Colts fan, if Marvin Harrison is there, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'd love to go get Marvin Harrison Jr. too.
Okay, yeah. We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that for sure. But I'm with you. Like, if I need a receiver, like, you know me, man. I'm a value guy. I love my second round, third round, fourth round selections. That's when I really get excited, you know. Mm-hmm. So, especially with receiver, we talked about the receivers that have gone late, like a Stephon Diggs in the 5th, Cooper Kupp in the 3rd, Puka Nacua in the 5th. You know, you got a lot of these guys, man. Devontae Adams went in the 2nd round, you know. I mean, you have so many of these type of players that at that position, receiver every year is a deep position, because you mentioned it. You talked about it before. It's 4 and 5 wide
sets. Especially nowadays.
And in college football, it's nothing but 4 and 5 wide sets. So you get receivers who played a lot. You know, and so it's easier to find those guys later in the draft as opposed to, as you mentioned, the stud offensive lineman. So that's good. I like that. I like the perspective that the Chargers could actually go O-line there. But that would be interesting. It really would be interesting, because
this goes back to the question with Cincinnati a couple years ago, right? Which they ultimately ended up going
Jamar Chase over. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's similar to that to me. It's like they're gonna have the, you know, assume we assume, right, that it's gonna be all quarterbacks in front of them. Say they get literally their pick at whoever they want. Or they can trade back too, obviously. Like, hey, Minnesota calls, maybe they trade back. So yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good pick overall, because there's a lot of ways they could go. And I think, like, you arguing receiver, me arguing, like, I think both sides make sense. Like, they need it. They need help.
And how comfortable are you with your top three receivers being Darius Day, Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnston? Like, Josh Palmer to me is clearly the best out of the three. He's not great. He's solid. He's very solid. But you.
Then how comfortable are you with only Slater kind of rock? You know, that's what it's both
It's
sides,
tough.
right? They
It's
need
tough.
they need a lot of help, man.
Now they do have 9 selections, so you do have the very adequate number of darts to throw at the dartboard.
And that's before a potential trade back.
So you have 9 selections before trade back, and you have 37, you have 69. Like, that's to me, like I said, when I'm looking at receivers, like, I love those second, third round, fourth round guys, and I'll talk about that with when we get into sleepers for our teams, and you'll hear me mention somebody, a receiver that I love to look to target at those type of in those type of rounds of that draft. But yeah, the Chargers one team, man. I'm looking at the other team that I'm if who when they get on the clock, and if there is a certain few guys on board, I'm really curious to see what this team does, and that's the Indianapolis Colts, man. At 15, I know you are. If Bowers is on the board and Brian Thomas Jr. is on the board, like if Quinyon Mitchell's on the board, like, I really am interested on what the Colts do at 15, because like all these players, they know they want to get more explosive on the offensive end, right? They need cornerback, but it's like, what do you do if the Brock Bowers is there? What if Brian Thomas is there? What do you do? Like, I know that's your team and you've talked about them a lot, but it's I'm really curious to see what they do. Do they stay put at 15? Do they move? We talk about that. Will they trade up? When you said they've never traded up, but you said there's been a lot of buzz on that, right? You said there's been a lot of buzz in the first round that they may trade up. Talk about that, man. What do you think about your team? And you got a lot to say about your Colts at 15 and what they might do, what they should do, but there's a lot of buzz surrounding that team of moving up.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. The latest, it seems like the probably a week ago, if you went out and looked at mock drafts, 99% of mock drafts out there had us taking a corner. Totally fair. No issues there. But all of a sudden this past week, there is some serious buzz, and a common move has been to have us trade up with Chicago at 9 and go get a Brock Bowers, go get a Roma Dunze, like a true game changer on offense. Do I buy it? I'm not sure yet. Like you mentioned, we've never done that before. Not in the first round. We did trade up to go get JT. Like, we've traded up on day 2, day 3. Never in the first. It's very much, we're very much a trade back team. I've seen a lot of gripe from Colts fans about how often we trade back. But to see us potentially go the other way, that's tough. And, you know, I told you before we got on here, our GM, Chris Ballard, had a press conference today, and he said that there is 19 to 20, 21 guys that he has first-round grades on.
So he feels good.
Well, Mike, to me, does he trade back again then? Like, you're at 15. You know, so yeah. It's – I don't know, man. I mean, I think we're really interesting too, and I've gone all over the place. I mean, obviously as a Colts fan, but there's positions – there's so many different ways that we can go. And I'll say this, what I've noticed, which is kind of interesting – and we've talked about this a lot too. Generally, the line of thinking when you have a young quarterback is you surround him with talent, like get him help offensively. You help your young guy. That really hasn't been the talk with us, which is I don't know if it means anything. Yeah, it's interesting. Everybody has us going corner, and I get it. But like, you don't ever. It's I've very, very, very rarely seen anybody argue like, oh, they need to go get Richardson more help. And we don't necessarily have like. It's not like we're super stacked on offense either. But it's just, I don't know. It's just interesting, that's all. Like, I am personally, and I've told you that, I'm more on the line of, like, I want to go get help for Anthony. Because, like, how good we do depends on how good he is. So, you're just a quarterback-driven league. We're going to go as far as our quarterback takes us, to me. And so, gosh, you mentioned Bowers. I would do, if we end up drafting Brock Bowers, I'm going to run through my apartment, man. So, I would love that. But, yeah, I think that's, obviously I'm biased, but I think that's a good answer, man. There's a lot of ways we can go, and I mean, I'm sure with your team, we're looking at, you wouldn't be shocked if the Steelers take a corner, or are certainly probably watching the Colts too, because if we do or don't take a corner, that affects you guys as well, right? And so, yeah, man, definitely a team to watch for sure.
So with the Colts, man, and you've talked about helping Anthony Richardson on the offensive side of the ball, the way that the Bears have already done, they didn't do it for Justin, but they've definitely done it for Caleb Williams. You've already acquired Keenan Allen. You got DJ Moore the year before. You signed DeAndre Swift. Like, he's loaded, man. They signed Gerald Everett at tight end to go with Cole Kmet. Like, the Bears are looking really promising, and had a strong finish to last season as well. So, but for the Colts, man, and this is your guy. You've alluded to it earlier in this episode. Marvin Harrison Jr., for real. Like, be honest. If you were the GM, I mean, be real. You've talked about you would try to get up and move and get that guy. Like, seriously, would you pull up Mike Ditka and mortgage the whole draft to move up and get a Ricky Williams? Would you do that type? Are you that much of a homer to go get Marvin Harrison Jr.? If you was a GM for the Colts, would you do it?
I would not. I think, and I love Marvin Harrison Jr., and I'm going to quote Zaire Franklin, our starting linebacker, him and EJ Speed have a podcast, and they were discussing on their podcast, this is probably a month ago, and he's talking about how he's like, his quote was, man, if Marvin Harrison Jr. slides past like pick six, he's like, everything in Indianapolis not nailed down is getting sent to go get And so I don't know what Ballard would do. I wouldn't do it unless he does slide. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. If he
slides slides how far, though? How far?
I would, if he gets, because I don't think Tennessee takes him. If he gets to like eight or later, I'm all in on going to get him. I just don't think there's a chance. But I mean, shoot, yeah, man. I would love to bring Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, besides the obvious lineage there with his dad, being the Hall of Famer and an all-time great for us, we really need receiver, man. We need we're missing like one more guy on offense. I mentioned Bowers. It could be a tight end. It could be a receiver. We just need, like, we really just need one more playmaker, one more guy on offense, and I'll feel like we'll have a pretty good, like, man, if we have Pittman, Downs, and then Harrison Jr., or even those two and Bowers, like, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good. So, am I gonna send, the whole draft class to New England to go get Marvin Harrison at 3 years? I'm probably not. But I'm totally not against. So I will put, if I have to go one way, I don't think he ends up being a Colt, but I would be very ecstatic if that does happen.
And see, that's where it's great to have a level-headed guy at the GM position as Chris Ballard is, because we've seen, like you said, Mike Ditka did it. He did it with the Saints. He went and traded everything to get one guy, Ricky Williams. And, like, there's no one player in the world in any sport that's worth mortgaging your entire future for one. Like, that, nobody's that good.
And isn't that a perfect example of the way the league's changed? He did that for a running back.
For a running back, that's good. Wow.
You would never see that nowadays, right?
Dude, that's wild. So, wow, that's perfect, man.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Golly. Chris Ballard, stand-up guy, awesome GM, man. Colts are in good hands for a year to come. And, we talk about, as we highlighted, what they need. That's a team to watch, along with the Chargers, along with the Vikings, along with the Broncos. But as we do continue to kind of slide into Indianapolis a little deeper, when it comes Thursday night, man, number 15 pick, first round, what are the Colts going to do? Like, what's going to happen Thursday night? In your eyes, what do you think is going to happen in their first round selection?
I think ultimately Quinyon Mitchell is going to be a Colt. I think if he's there, put it this way, obviously that is the major caveat. If he's gone, I could see Denver taking him, for example. I think he's a Colt. Bowers is the 1B to that for me. I would go Bowers personally.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that we would probably go Quinyon Mitchell. It depends on how Ballard thinks our young cornerbacks might bounce back next year, because we have a very, 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 very young defensive back room. And so there's two lines of thinking with that when you think about who we might go with. You might go with, if the issue was their lack of experience, why would you go take a first-round corner? Like, even if he's great, it's still an experience. There's no, promise that he's going to be good right away. And in that case, it's like, okay, well, let's go offense. receivers, especially nowadays, are much more likely to be able to help you right away or even of hours. That's kind of where I lean on. Don't get me wrong, I love Quinion Mitchell, and I think he's going to be a really dang good corner, and I will not be remotely upset if he is taken. But shoot, I think our corners are only going to get better. Another year in the system. They were both rookies last year, and I'm referring to, you know, Julius Prince and then Jalen Jones. Obviously, Kenny Moore is still a stud, but the outside corners, like, we're needing to see a leap from. Man, I just think I want to make things easier on Richardson. So to me, if we can go get like a Bowers or holy smokes, it's a trade up stuff is real. If we go up and get like a Rome Odunze, man, I think Odunze would be if there's anyone there at nine who I could see us going to get, it's going
It'd
to
be
be
him.
Odunze or
Okay.
Bowers. To me, I think they fit. The only thing with Bowers, and I've told you this, Bowers did not test at the combine, and so I'm not sure how we would view that, like if that would matter. Odunze though fits every single box. Like there, that is a Chris Ballard wide receiver, to a T, and he's a great one. So I would. That would be like my dream pick, I guess, is if he's there, Bowers number two, and then Quinion Mitchell number three. But for the sake of your question, I think Quinion Mitchell is going to be the guy that we end up leaving day one with. If they're not there, I think we'd definitely trade back because we're a very, that's Chris Ballard. That's what we'll do. We'll trade back, probably take a Cooper DeJean right in front of Pittsburgh, something like that, you know?
Stop. What you
So,
trying to say? What you trying to
but yeah,
say?
Quinion Mitchell, for the sake of your question, that I think he's going to be a Colt. But what about you, man? In Pittsburgh, just like I said, picking at 20, so not too
Yeah.
far behind us.
Man.
What is Pittsburgh going to do? Who's going to be heading the black and gold day one? What do you got?
Man, we've talked about the positions of need. Center specifically, tackle depth, receiver, corner. We talk about, this tip and 10 of the 17 receivers taken under Mike Tomlin, 10 of the 17 have come in the second or third round. None in there's not been none in the first. So I think it's highly unlikely it's going to be a receiver. Corner is a very strong possibility. We also need center, but I think the difference where I believe it's going to determine is, I mentioned it before. Mike Tomlin said there's only a select few guys who are ready to start day one at center. And then he says a whole lot more who are nowhere near ready starting from day one. So with that being said, the Steelers are at 20, second round at 51. There's no guarantee that one of those top centers that you like are going to be available at 51. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to risk, right? You don't want to risk, okay, we'll take their position at 20 and then hope one of those guys falls to us at 51. Now you can trade up, but it's dicey. You know what I'm saying? There's a time to take a shot, but it's hard to do so in the first round when you only have a select few guys at a strong positional need to begin with. So, my two things there, I think at 20, I think, it's new. I'm completely new to Omar Khan. I don't know what he does. I don't know what he's traded up last year. He traded up to get Broderick Jones, right? But this year, man, I'm gonna take a shot and say that we trade back. I'm gonna say we trade back, pick up an extra second or third, maybe a third and a fourth, and get one of those linemen that we like. I think there's three guys that we are very comfortable selecting: Graham Barton from Duke, Zach Frazier from West Virginia, Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. I think it's going to be one of those three guys that we still take in the first round. I just think we can trade back and get more stock, get more picks, and still get our guy. Get one of those three guys that we're comfortable selecting. Now, who trades up to do so? I don't know. Maybe it's Minnesota, maybe it is Arizona, who also has the 27th pick that they acquired from Houston. You got the Buffalo Bills. The people that's been strong ties there. They're like, hey, watch out for Buffalo. That may want to trade up and get one of those receivers that they covered more so than waiting to see who falls to them at 28. So I'm going trade back, and you get either Graham Barton, Zach Frazier, or Jackson Powers Johnson to be your center, along with getting more picks later in the draft.
Hey, Graham Barton's a Steeler to me. You kind of sold me on that the last time we talked. I think he just makes he makes a lot of sense. I guess for the sake of the question, you listed three guys. Who would be the one? Let's say those three are available to you, and you trade back. Who's the pick? Who's the Steeler that day? Or I guess put it this way, who would you go and who do you think, what do you think the Steelers do? Obviously, you're predicting because you don't know Con, like you said. But in your gut, what do you think goes down?
Man, from you read a lot of reports and you see a lot of Graham Barton to the Steelers. But man, from what I've read, they're saying the Steelers absolutely love Zach Frazier. And
Okay.
so out of West Virginia, man, that's if I had to go with like I said, I really don't know. I don't know. But I'm gonna say if that's true, man, if that's true, I'm gonna go with Hey, man, I don't really don't know, but I'm gonna say Zach Frazier, man. But if it's not Frazier, it'll be Barton. But I think that's the choice. Like when you read all these, you really don't know what to believe. You know what I'm saying? You don't know who to believe. You don't know what to trust. Amarius Mims is a tackle that you've heard. You know what I'm saying? Like from Georgia, that, and I just don't see that. But I think it's one of those centers because we can't take a chance and if it not being there at 51, we can't take that shot. So I'm going Zach Frazier, man. If not, it's Graham Barton. But that's what I'm going to trade back, and Zach Frazier's first. Because if Barton's not there, you already got Frazier, right? But I think it's
And I
Frazier or
think
Barton.
that's I think Barton probably goes before
Yeah,
Frazier,
yeah.
right?
He
So,
does. He does for
yeah.
sure. He does for sure. Barton is projected to go before Frazier. But if both are on the board, like I said, I don't know. I heard that they absolutely love Frazier, man. I think that's where you're in the luxury to trade back and still get one of those guys that you like. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you don't feel that comfortable, if you have, okay, this dude's clearly 1A and 1B by himself, then you get that guy. But I think they like Frazier and Barton enough to trade back and still get one of them, and then pick up an extra second or third.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so there that you heard it here first,
Man,
right?
I'm just
There's a
a.
prediction.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm just throwing a dart at the dartboard myself, man, because I don't know. But I don't want Amarius Mims because I feel Dan Moore Jr. is adequate at tackle to do so. We need a center. You clearly need a starting center. So I think that's the move that you go with.
I think the only certainty I know about the Steelers, because it would just be very on brand, is day two, Jermaine Burton will be a Steelers receiver. But
What? Why you say that? Because he went to Alabama? What are you
no,
doing?
he's the questionable, like the hothead type, really
Oh
good. He would
boy.
probably be further up the board
Stop.
if it wasn't for that's a
Stop.
Steelers to me, man. You go ahead and put it on the chart. He's gonna lock it in. He's gonna be a Steeler.
I would be pissed. I mean, for real, like, because I've seen enough of it.
Yep.
The George Pickens enough. Like I've seen it. Like,
That would be so on brand, though, man. It really would. I'm just getting under your skin. I'm just picking at you at this point, but.
all right. So. But since we talked receiver, you mentioned receiver, day two type guy. Like we talked sleepers. We talked sleepers. And I'm gonna throw my first sleeper out there, who is at the receiving position with I hope we select this guy, and if we gotta take him around earlier than projected, I'm perfectly fine doing so. That receiver is Luke McCaffrey out of Rice. Yes, Luke
Okay.
McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey's brother. Coach Mike Tomlin talked about there's something about genetics. You know what I'm saying? When you have family bloodlines in the NFL, like, he likes that. You have Nate Herbert, who we saw last year, and then we draft Nick Herbert from Wisconsin. You have Cameron Hayward, right, that you drafted years ago, and then you go get Connor Hayward several years later. There was a time we had Khalil Davis and Carlos Davis, the Watt brothers. We took T.J. Watt. We also signed Derek Watt. Mike Tomlin has clearly, like, it's not like, oh, this is a hunch, oh, this is a pattern. No, he has clearly stated there's something about genetics and DNA when you have those NFL bloodlines. There's one clip on the sidelines during a game where he says, "Any more siblings?" Like Nick Herbert just made a play and like got a sack. He's like, "Any more siblings out there? Anybody else got any siblings?" Christian McCaffrey's a stud. His older brother Max McCaffrey spent a little time in the league at receiver. His dad, Ed McCaffrey, won Super Bowls, Denver, I think San Francisco. Dude, I think Luke McCaffrey in the third round at 84, 98. I'm scared to risk it at 119 in the fourth, but Luke McCaffrey is one of my sleepers that I would love to see be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Okay, so I had McCaffrey and McMillan in my head, so I
Oh!
was
That's my guy, too.
that's
That's
what I
my
was
guy,
trying to
too.
guess. I was trying to guess on where you're gonna go, but now I like that. And And you've this is on brand for you, talking about the with the the lineage matters, and you've talked about that being a real thing for Tomlin and that team. So, no, I think it's a good pick, and shoot, that's a pretty dang good gene pool to pull from. So,
I mean,
no
for
hate there.
real, right?
My first guy that comes to mind is Adisa Isaac. He's an edge out of Penn State.
Okay.
I think he is a Ballard edge player through and through. If he is there on day. I think he's going to go in the third. If he goes, maybe he goes sooner, maybe he goes later. No one really knows. Most of the things I've read kind of have him projected to be a third round type of guy.
Okay.
I really, really, really like him though. He's a really good athlete. He's a bit undersized for an edge player, which would maybe not make him a traditional type of 4-3. Maybe he would play like off the ball more as like a 3-4. But for us in the Gus Bradley defense, they have what's called the Leo. It's like the really, really kind of like what San Francisco was known for a long time, that wide nine where you got that edge guy way out wide. I think he would be that for us, and I think he would be really dang good at it. He's really long, really lanky, really smart. He has a lot of plays where like you could tell he's shutting down plays on himself because he's making a good read. I think he's I don't know. He just kind of checks all the boxes for especially like kind of day two and day three guys that I think Ballard would like a lot. And so that would be the guy for me. And so that's my first sleeper. And to throw even another nugget there, Charlie Partridge, who is our new defensive line coach, he has been the defensive line coach for Pittsburgh the last couple years. Adisa Isaac was offered by Partridge to go to Pittsburgh. He did not take it. But there is a
Really?
connection there. Like clearly, Partridge liked him before, liked him at one point.
Yeah.
Hey, if anybody's going to have some knowledge and some insider stuff on him, it's going to be Partridge. And so
Wow.
there's a connection there. He fits all the metrics that Ballard tends to look for. Like it just makes too much sense to me. That's one of those where like that pick happens, and I'm like, yeah, of course, duh. As long as he's there, right? And so that's my first one, and I would love it. Never going to be upset with going edge guys, man. Those are valuable. So. That's my guy, Adisa Isaac. You heard it here first. I think he's going to be a Colt, but we'll see. Regardless, I like him. I think he's a sleeper. He's a good day two guy to watch at a very important position.
Man, okay. But like you said, those relationships do matter. Like they could stem back from middle school days, high school days, college. It's like, okay, we didn't get you here, but man, I remembered you, and I've always liked you. I've always had an eye on you, and it usually is later in the draft when those positional coaches have a little bit more say, right? It's like the GM has their guy, but it's like, hey, so and so at your position, who do you like most? We need a D tackle. We need a corner. We need a receiver. Who did you like most? Come, at this time, and that's when they usually have a little more say when it comes to those picks later in the draft. So, man, my second guy, like I said, and when we talk sleepers, like we're looking at guys more so third round or later. But it's certain positions that are in that tweener. Like he could go second. He could go in a third. That's kind of where I am with some of these guys. So I mean, if you like, man, that's not a sleeper. Well, I don't know if this is gonna go second. I don't know if he's gonna go third. I think it's gonna be one of them. But DJ James, corner from Auburn, man, he
I
could
like
go
DJ James
second.
too.
Yeah, he could go second. He could go third. Man, this is a guy. Watching some Auburn football in the last several years, like he transferred from Oregon, but he is one that stands out that really just is a sound, solid corner and can lock down that entire side of the field. So he could go second. I wouldn't be surprised if he fell in the third, but wherever he goes, that team is going to be thrilled to have him. And, I would love for him to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, as you know, but it's like certain guys when you watch film or when you watch game tape, and you're like, man, this dude's a player. And at corner, we know, I need to know at corner, can you shut somebody down? Can you completely take away that quarterback's progression on your field? And so DJ James is one to watch. Like I said, I don't know if he goes late second. I don't know if it happens in the third, but he will definitely not fall any further than the third for sure. So he's a guy to look out for because, and I think when we go back to the term sleeper, the first round gets so much hype that you feel like day two guys feel like they have to wait a whole nother day. And it's like people, man, he lasted in this far in the second round. Like it's the second round. There's seven rounds. Like being a second round pick is a pretty good deal. You know what I'm saying? But it's like you have to wait an entire day to see who's called on second and third round. And then even so, on day three, it's like, man, like the way that they've stretched it out so far is, it's like the first round is where the draft is made, and it's really not. It's really those middle rounds that we are highlighting just now. So you said you like DJ James as well. Unfortunately for you, he will be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
I'm not sure. I think he's too undersized I think the Colts wouldn't take him. But just personally, I like him. I think he's going to be a pretty good nickel at some point. I don't know if it'll be his rookie year or not, but I like him. I don't hate the pick. I can't even blame you. I can't say it's homerism or anything. I think it's a good pick.
A good player. Yeah, because man, I'm one that really, like, I don't really dive into the homers. Because I actually have somebody else listed at that corner position that I like, and I went back and forth between these two guys. And I'll just say, I mean, just somebody else to mention, but Mike Sandersteel from Michigan, another corner that I like a whole lot. I went back and forth between him and James, and when I watch Sandersteel, I see Mike Hilton. Like, no lie, when I watch film of him, I was like, man, and I watched Michigan a lot of the last couple of years. He's someone that moved from receiver to corner, and you see those hands play up on the defensive side of the ball. And it's like, man, I see Mike Hilton, the way he's able to blitz from that nickel position to make plays in a run game. And tell me why, man, I came across one analyst, and I think it may have been Brady Quinn, but he was talking about Mike Sandersteel reminds me of Mike Hilton. I was like, dude, that's exactly who I saw. It's exactly who I saw, man.
That's a pretty good dude to look like, man.
Man, I mean, for real, he was what? A Steeler as well. Mike Hilton was. So, Mike Sandersteel, DJ James, I'll be happy with either. I'll be happy with both. But, yeah, man, those are my guys that I could kind of look at that corner sleeper spot if we don't take corner in the first. Even if we did, man, we've done mock drafts, and we'll do mock drafts later in a future episode. But I've done the mock draft where I've taken DeGene in James or DeGene in Sandersteel. Like, I'm double back, man. So
you can't have enough corners, man.
You can't, man. Right, especially in this age where the receivers and the capability that they possess, but also when your team needs corners. That you know, yeah. It's one thing to need it in today's game, but when your team has it as a glaring need, you know, you got to fully address that too. So Chris, man, give me another sleeper that you have. Give me another sleeper that you'd like to highlight before we close.
I've got one more, and I'm just gonna. Just to go with the theme, because we've been so defensive heavy, I'm going to keep the thing rolling on that. And I do think this is because it's such a good offensive draft that naturally it's going to open the door, right, to some sleepers, some guys kind of being left in the dust on defense and maybe shouldn't. I'm going to go Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington State.
Okay.
The first thing that kind of stands out to me, of course, I've told you beforehand, really good athlete. That is a very common thread, at least for the Colts, that Ballard generally looks for. He's pretty good size. He's 6'1", 211 at safety. He's a big dude. His shuttle time wasn't, like, great, but everything else was, like, pretty dang good. He's an explosive athlete. But the other thing that kind of stood out to me, and it's something that I think matters, especially for day two, day three type of guys, is he's a former cornerback that was moved to safety. So he has position versatility. Like, I'm sure he's going to play safety, but, like, he still has knowledge playing at another position. In the past, the Colts have taken numerous guys who have position flexibility, and I think a lot of teams do it, man. I think it's a really valuable if you're trying to get on the field, like being able to play another position is very big.
Yeah.
But Jaden Hicks, he has the ball skill. Being a former corner, he has the ball skills. He has the size, especially in today's day and age where we're kind of seeing the safety position undervalued a little bit. I mean, you saw it this offseason with so many of them getting – release. That's going to make if that position is going to kind of go the way of the running back, where it's just people aren't really valuing them, well, that's going to make drafting them a lot more important to kind of keep that, you know, that safety rotation going. So Jaden Hicks is a guy I like a lot. I just think, you know, you get someone who's athletic, you get someone who has the ball skills playing, you know, being a former corner, and like he would be a guy that to me you just go let him like man up on a tight end or something and just do his thing. I mean, he played corner, like I said, so he can that kind of fits his niche. I don't know how much I like him as like a center fielder type of guy.
Yeah.
To kind of be like a roamer, like come down in the box, like man up on a tight end. I like him a lot there. And so that would be like, to me, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up being like a day two, day three pick for us. I think he's going to go like maybe third, but probably fourth. I think he's going to go in that range. But that's a guy to look out for me. Like I said, that's a just keeping on the train of defense here. You can probably tell when we've talked about it on both this show and the last show, but that first round is going to be mightily offensive heavy,
right? Yeah,
so, So we gotta, I think we gotta give some love to the defense a little bit. So that's what I've been kind of cluing in on. So Jaden Hicks, man, safety out of Washington State. Look for him to go day two, and I think he's gonna be a pretty dang good player. Whether it's for us or someone else, maybe the Steelers. I don't know. We'll see where he goes. But that's someone to watch for. Jaden Hicks, man. That's one of my guys.
Dude, you know, something you said to there where it makes me want to double back. You talked about the versatility and being able to play different positions. So as I talked about first round Pittsburgh Steelers, I said Zach Frazier, but man, Graham Barton is one that he played center his freshman year. He played left tackle the rest.
Played left tackle, yep.
So I'm gonna change that. If Barton's on the board, it's Barton. But I think we trading back to add a pick, and we're gonna get Barton if he's available. But like you said, I think he's higher than Frazier on the board, but it's contingent upon him actually still being available. So just wanted to put that little nugget out there just because you said versatility. We need center. We need tackle depth. If Barton didn't work out at center, you could just put him in tackle depth. So you talk about your sleepers. You've done a wonderful job of nailing sleepers in the last couple of years, man. Tariq Woolen is one that you mentioned last season that had really just balled out in his rookie year. Man, how at what point did you realize, like, man, yep, I was right about him?
Dude, I mean, well, I've told you this. I didn't expect him to be as good as he was early. I mean, he was phenomenal this past year for Seattle. Mm-hmm. But that was someone I clued in pretty early. Kind of the same thing as I'm looking at in these last none of the guys I've said, like Jaden Hicks, none of those guys are the athlete that Woolen was. Woolen's only issue is he came from a small school. And so he didn't do it. And he was kind of raw, but he didn't really do it against really anybody, like no good competition. But holy smokes, that dude was a freak athlete. Like he tested ridiculous across the board, and he's 6'4", he's long, he's big. Like, I mean, that was one of those guys I liked him so much just as like why not? Just take a shot. Because it's like if he pans out, he's going to be a problem for teams, right? I just didn't think he'd be that good right away. Kudos to Seattle. Corey can attest. You can attest to this, man. I was kind of hot whenever Seattle took him because I was very excited. I thought he was going to be a Colt. I would have bet all my money that he was going to be a Colt if he was there. And then he goes right before us to Seattle. So we'll never know. Mm. But man, that one of those. If only. I wish that would have happened. We probably wouldn't be in the spot we're in right now with needing corners. But what can you do?
You called it, man. Tariq Woolen from UTSA. He's the first player from that school to make the Pro Bowl as well. So Pro Bowler, all rookie team, Tariq Woolen. You called it. You nailed it. That dude, Tariq Woolen.
And if I can go, he's not Tariq Woolen, but just for the sake of so I can come back and see how wrong I was or maybe right. There's the one like really, really late. Woolen was, I believe, round 5, if I remember right. So not as late as this guy. I think there's a chance this guy goes undrafted, but he's just kind of in that mold where he's I think going to go really late, but he has a really good athlete at the corner position, and as Chigozie Anousie. Mm-hmm. He's a corner out of Colorado State.
Okay.
Like I said, nowhere near the athlete that Woolen is. He's 6'1", 200, not nowhere near like the size as Woolen either, but that's still a big corner, and he has the speed, he has the physical. Like he's still like a physical dude. He's a really good athlete. He tested really well at his pro day, and I think that's kind of what made him kind of stick out. I mean, that's when I heard about him, is he tested really well at his pro day. And so, I mean, I'm not going to say he's Tariq Woolen, but he's kind of that guy where like he's a day 3 corner, really good athlete, has a lot of size. I told you before this is a really small corner class. Right, a lot of guys that are, you would say, are undersized. And so you're kind of limited if you're wanting a bigger corner. I mean, you have guys like Cam Hart, who's probably going to go day 2. It's another really big corner. But Chigozie's one of those guys day 3 who's kind of a bigger dude, too, if you want to kind of try and fit that mold of just size, speed guys. And so I'm going to go and throw his name out there just for the sake. I'm not as crazy on him as I am Woolen. I was very excited about Woolen. But just to have another guy out there so we can see how wrong or right I was. Chigozie Anousie, Colorado State. I'd keep an eye on him going forward.
So, man, first of all, where do you learn to pronounce these guys' name perfectly as you do? Do you spend some time rehearsing a little bit, trying to get these names just to say them exactly as they're designed to to be said?
And I don't even, I hope I'm saying this right. I'm going to give a shout out to Dane Brugler from The Athletic. He has what's called The Beast. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful read if you are looking for draft information. He covers an just ridiculous amount of players, but he has a write-up on Chigozie Anousie. And the reason why I'm giving him a shout out, besides it just being brilliant work, is he gives a, he has like a little parentheses like, hey, this is how you pronounce it. And so that's what I always look for if I, that or just looking up on YouTube. But even then, you don't know if the announcers are saying it right either.
Yeah. That's true.
So I generally follow, I look up if there's a guy like that, and I've gotten pretty good at it because the Colts generally take a lot of guys who I've got to go look up to get the names right.
You're right. The Colts do, y'all stay with guys. Yeah.
At Atomiwa last year. That was a fun one to learn. At Abare. At Atomiwa at Abare. Dio Odiengo. And so I've gotten pretty good at this, man. I've gotten my reps in being a Colts fan. So I'll give a shout out to Chris Ballard too, helping me learn and expand on that. So yeah, man, I've had my reps.
Dude, yeah, the Colts give you a lot of practice for sure. Quiddy pay, even Quiddy.
Atomiwa, man. Yeah, Quiddy.
Quiddy. Quiddy pay. Boy, look, hey, man, you know, as we kind of wrap this up, like, I'm going to just say this a little bit. Like, I'm not big on, like, we talked about if you need a quarterback, franchise guy, if you love that guy in your position to get that guy, get him. If you don't love him, man, just wait, throw a dart at the dartboard in the third, fourth, fifth round, and maybe you hit on one of those guys. And if I had to mention somebody that I like later in the draft, Jordan Travis, QB from Florida State, gamer, makes plays with his arm, make plays with his feet. It's coming off injury, man. It's unfortunate the way the Florida State got screwed when it came to the college football playoff. Like, they finished undefeated. You do everything you can. You went undefeated. You won your conference championship. But because your quarterback isn't there, you're starting with, well, y'all aren't the same team. But that's not fair to punish the whole team. You don't know what team is going to be. By the time they play Georgia, maybe they figure it out. Maybe they are just as a competitive team. So I hate it that the way it unfolded for that university. And Jordan Travis, man, he's the one to watch. I think he could probably be fourth round, fifth round. And like I said, if you don't love that guy in the first round, don't take him. Don't feel the pressure to get married just because you feel like you got to get married now and late, man. Look, Jordan Travis, wait on him. He's the guy to watch. Other than that, man, those are our sleepers. We'll re-highlight those guys as we come back post-draft and talk about where some of our sleepers landed. Do we like the fit for those teams? Do we think those teams landed a steal? Because we can like these players, but what if we don't like that player where they actually ended up? Because it's all
That's
about
arguably
fit.
The most important piece, right?
Is you got to have the fit. You got to have the fit, man. The fit is everything. And so, Chris, man, next episode, what we're going to do, we're going to do a mock draft. We're going to do a mock draft ourselves and kind of talk about where we selected for our teams in that mock draft. And, man, I look forward to doing that, man. And, you know, everybody wants to be GM. Everybody wants to play GM and have that cap on. But that's what we'll do on our next episode. Prior to the draft, we're going to do a mock draft ourselves prior to recording, and then we'll come back and talk about those exact selections. Chris, man, I appreciate you always, dude. Any closing words before we wrap up, my guy?
I just, what else can I say, man? We're a week, just a week away, man, or I guess it's 8 days. We're so close to the draft. I'm pumped for it. I'm ready. You mentioned, obviously, the Colts being really interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in everybody. I want to watch it all. I want to know who's going. I know Caleb's going first, but after that, man, I want to know who's going where, what's happening at two, how many quarterbacks go in the first, is there going to be seven tackles in the first, who's the first corner to go. I mean, it's fun. I love this time of year. It's I'm just excited, man. I'm excited to do the mock draft here soon with you, and I'm excited to see the real draft here very soon afterwards as well, man. So I'm just pumped. That's it. Let's go.
Pump. If you got anything from today, we're pumped. You know what I'm saying? We're pumped, man. Colts 15, Steelers at 20. Will our team stay at their positions? Will they trade up? Will they trade back? I predict a trade back. I think that we'll do get another pick. But man, we're still too long to really know. It's still too far away to know exactly what's going to happen draft night, but we're trying to give a good idea, a good hunch on what's actually going to take place Thursday night. But Chris, until next time when we do our mock draft, be safe, And we'll be right back here on the Sweet Spot.